Welcome to another C3 Church Rockingham podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au.
Ready to go to the scriptures? 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1 is where I'm going to go. And my thought here tonight is if you pour it out, it will keep flowing. And we're looking at the story of the widow. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead." In other words, her husband was a minister. And you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. "What can I do to help?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all." Listen real careful here. She says, "Nothing at all except." And I think most of us find ourselves in a place where we have nothing at all except. Nothing at all except that thing that's really valuable to me. Nothing at all except that thing I'm not prepared to part with. Nothing at all except if I use that. Then what? "Nothing at all except a flask of oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." This sacred seed that was poured out, this uncommon faith that was acted upon, brought this woman from a place of complete debt, about to see her sons sold into slavery, to a place of total freedom. You got to know that when the oil was sold, the value of that oil not only paid off all her debts, but set her children up for the rest of their lives. They lived on the wealth that was provided for the rest of their lives. When you look at the portion of scripture prophetically speaking, oil is the anointing or the gift of God. The flask, an instrument used to serve God. The flask represents, the jugs represents, the flask that the oil was in represents that instrument that is used by God to serve God. Jars, void places, void vessels in friends and family's lives. This widow had an anointing that wasn't being used. A gift that was on the shelf, in a sense. She'd stop using it. I think God is talking to the church today through this portion of scripture, because obviously this oil did not represent a gift for that woman. But prophetically speaking, 2,000 years down the track to the church, it is speaking to those of us that have a gift, have an anointing that's sitting on a shelf, not being used, being reserved for whatever reason. And God is saying to his church, take that gift that you've been given and begin to pour it out once again. And find the empty vessels. Find the people that need the anointing that's on your life and pour it into their lives. As long as you keep pouring it. Phil Pringle says it this way, do your gift and the oil will flow. When I came to prepare tonight, in fact, Daniel asked me this question just before I got up, because he knew a little bit of the background towards what we were doing tonight in terms of the message. He said, how did God speak to you prior to the message? And I want to just reveal it. Is that okay? Is it okay to have no secrets? As I was preparing this message, I was seeing myself teaching and preaching the message, then coming to the end of the message and praying for people out of the message. And as I was preparing that, the Lord said, you know what, in Luke, it starts off in Luke. These are the things, I think it's Luke and what could be Acts. It's one or the other, because Luke wrote both books. But it says in that opening statement, these are the things that Jesus began to do and teach. And the Holy Spirit brought that scripture to my remembrance and says, don't go the normal way. Preach the message, then pray for people. Do it and then teach it. Are you here? So I'm doing it. I've done it. Now I'm teaching it. The Lord said, I want you to take those key gifts that are on your life tonight and pray for people on the altar in those key areas. Notice what I focused on. Healing, leadership, deliverance. Do your gift and the oil will flow. What am I saying to you? If you're in the marketplace today, there is a gift, there is a skill, there is an ability that God has given you. If you will take that gift, if you'll take that gift and use it to meet people's needs, to better people's lives, you will find the oil of God's supply will flow to a place where it will break the bondage of debt off your life. It'll set you up in a prosperous zone so that you can get into such a zone that not only you, but your family, your children's children, and can be set up for the future. I'm telling you, we're coming into the days where the fiery darts of the enemy are coming against us, and God is setting up to give us double for our trouble in every battle we go into. These are the days of the double portion that Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah 61 verse 9. He says, I will give you a double portion of prosperity, double for your trouble. I wish you'd grab hold of it just a little bit stronger. And so here we're seeing that the widow was commanded by Elisha to pour out what she had. I am sure that when that oil stopped flowing and her son said, there's no more vessels, in her mind she must have thought, oh, I wish my sons were thinking as big as me. Why didn't they go to the entire town and get more vessels? But nonetheless, God used that to present to us this reality. That this seemingly insignificant gift that you've had sitting on the shelf, this anointing that you haven't thought much about, needs to be exercised. That's why Paul comes along and says, stir up the gift that's within you. Hello, somebody. That's why we have the parable that Jesus talked about of the talents, 5, 2, and 1. And the reality is, if you hide that gift in the soil, eventually God will say, well, you're not going to use it. I'll take it off of you and I'll put it on the person that's going to use it. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16, it says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. I rewrote that scripture this afternoon just for my own understanding. A man's gift identifies a lane for him to run in and unlocks heaven's supernatural supply in his life. Your gift is the thing that God will use to unlock a flow of supply. Deuteronomy chapter 8, I think it's verse 18, says, God has given you the power to get wealth that he might establish his covenant with you. If you're a marketplace, listen, if your passion is in the marketplace, God has given you a gift. He has given you ability to create wealth. You are never going to have to apologize for the fact that God has given you the ability to go into a zone of wealth creation. People that think that riches is wickedness just have not understood the very covenant promises that God has provided for us. The Bible tells us that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's not 1,000 cattles. Cattle. That's, do you understand? The Bible is trying to communicate to us that our God in heaven holds all the riches of the earth in his own control. And if we'll get in covenant with him, if we'll learn the laws of the kingdom, not of this world, to unlock the supply, we'll get into a zone. If your passion is ministry, God is saying, pour the gift that you have into as many vessels as possible that you can find. If you've got a healing gift, listen, you know that you've got a healing gift available to you today. If you, let me go the other way. Today, tonight, tell me, listen, everyone in the room. If you know that God has healed you, has intervened in your life and healed you, show me where you are. Lift your hand. Every single one of you, you know that God has healed you at some time, some place. Lift your hand. Lift it high. There you go. Put it down. Here's the deal. If he's healed you, he can use you to heal somebody else. It's a kingdom principle. Freely you have received, freely give. He said, I've never been used in that way before. Just step out. In Hebrews chapter something or other. I think it's around there, 5, maybe 6. I think it's 6. It could be 5. Read it for yourself. You'll find it. It says, it outlines the basic doctrines of Christ. And right in the midst of the doctrines of Christ is the doctrine of the laying on of hands. I think it's 5 at the end of the chapter. It's 6:1-2. There you go. He reads his Bible. I just breeze through it. There it is. One of the doctrines is the doctrines of the laying on of hands. And I guess from our brand of Christianity, our kind of background of Christianity, we just see that as the healing deal. But actually what it's saying is there's this doctrine in Christ that he gives you the authority to hand authority onto others. He gives you the authority to empower others with the same gifts that you've received. He gives you that ability. And if you'll get into a zone, see, this is where the old school stopped flowing in the oil. This is where the old guard is dying away. Let me say that we're coming into the new day church. This is a new day church in the sense of we're coming into a new day where we realize that we must become very secure in who we are and what we have and not be so secretive about the way God uses us. Let's reveal the secrets to the holy people so that they can then reach other people with that same thing. That's why tonight I'm trying to reveal as much as the background to how we got to this place as I'm ministering so that you can begin to see how God will use you. You've got to know. In the kingdom, amongst holy people. Not when there's swine's in front of us. Don't cast your pearl before the swine. I just believe that we're robust enough as a church, especially on a Sunday night, that swines don't stick around. I just paid you a compliment. There's no swines amongst us. Go on, smile a little. It's okay. We must get to a place where we're prepared to put our hands on people and pass on what we've received. We've got to be the kind of people that get to the place. I don't want the people that come after me. I don't want the next generation to start where I started. I want them to leap from my shoulders. I want them to be launching from my shoulders. I don't want them to, you have to do the hard yards like I did. Forget that stuff. Where are we going to go as a people of God and the kingdom if the guys that come after me have to start from the ground where I started? I want them to launch from my shoulders. They're going to start from a better position than I finished, not than I started. Yeah? Which really sucks, but anyway, I'm going to heaven to celebrate. It's good for me. If your passion is the marketplace, use the gift. Use the skill. Take advantage of that gift in unlocking the very supply of heaven. They say in the marketplace, find a need and meet it. It's as simple as that. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. As ministers, as individuals, you are the only one. Listen to me, you are the only one that can use your gift. No one else can use your gift. If you get to heaven and it's still in the box, you're going to have to give an account for that. If you get to heaven and it's worn out, you're going to be celebrated. Listen, I believe we're called to live full, die empty. Hello? We're called to live full, die empty. We live full by just going back to God every day to get that replenishing, but we pour it out so much that we've got to keep going there. And eventually, and I think I'll be running across the paddock with a Bible in my hand when I breathe my last breath, preaching the gospel somewhere. That would be the goal. You're the only one that can exercise your gift. Do your gift and the oil will flow. Keep finding empty vessels that need your type of oil. There's a hint in that. When we first started out 22 years ago, the only oil that you really needed to release upon the congregation was the healing, miraculous thing, and everything went wild. But nowadays, it's a little different. There's a lot more that's required. We need teaching in this area. We need impartation here for leadership. We need understanding there for financial. There's a whole bunch of stuff, but there is an oil that's been placed on you that is required. Hello? Meet the need by faith. Just step out and do it. Your gift also needs sharpening. Wisdom is the sharpening stone for your gift. Just because you have a gift doesn't mean that it's going to have the power to break through in an atmosphere, have a cutting edge on it. It needs a cutting edge. In Scripture, the gift is an axe. When the axe gets dull, when it loses its sharpness, when it loses its edge, then it takes more effort, and that's where you become exhausted. But the Bible says wisdom will sharpen the axe. And what does that look like? It looks like learning from others. It looks like rubbing up against people that are a little bit stronger than you are. Hello, somebody. That's why on Thursday afternoon, I discovered that Pastor Phil was here and he had no one to host him that night. And he didn't want to put us out. And I said, Pastor Phil, it's cool. You're not putting me out. I'll pick you up. I'll take you to dinner. Where do you take someone like that for dinner? He wants steak. Take him to the best place you can possibly find. I'm on the way there, I'm thinking, if I park underneath, he's tired, he's come in, he just wants to have a meal, get out of here, I'll park at the top. That'll cost his valet, here's the cash, pay for the valet. Pay for the meal. You're in a good place, and on your way out, the girl's looking at me as if to say, okay, what most people do here is, even though it's not the trend in Australia, they tip the girl, get in the car, drive home. I'm thinking, on one side of it, you think, that's an expensive night. On the other side, I thought, far out, that was the cheapest night of training I ever had. I went, far out, I hope I get to do that again. We're sitting there in a moment. But we started this conversation and he said, Claude, you know, he said, Claude, Carolyn, you know how it is. You walk into church on a Sunday morning, you're standing up the front there and you're thinking, oh, that person over there, they're in a really good place. Their life's turned around. Oh, over here, oh, that's bitterness over there. Oh, gosh. And the person, I'm not sure what they're into, but that ain't good. And he's saying to you, you know how that happens to you as a pastor? And I said, yeah, unfortunately I do. And he says, you know, when you look at that, he's like the one for the night. You know? He says, when you look at that, if you just multiply that a billion times over, you start to understand how God keeps a full rain on the entire planet. Did you get that? Some of you did. The rest of it. Your gift needs sharpening. And you've got to get around sharp people or sharpening stones. Have you ever sharpened a knife on a stone? If you do it on one of those hand ones, you feel the heat starting to build up. But if you ever get an axe and sharpen an axe, you do it on a spinning wheel, you can see the sparks fly. You can see the heat that's created. That's why John Maxwell says, if you can't create the heat, get out of the kitchen. So just because the gift has come doesn't mean you don't have to do something with it. It's necessary that we would sharpen the gift. Final thing, passing on your gift to others is the doorway to longevity. I would say that we're not going to survive in this race of life, this race of faith, if we don't know how to get to a secure place where what we freely received, we pass on to those vessels that have been given to us. If you can sow it, you will grow it. If you can't sow it, you won't grow it. Hide it and you'll lose it, or at least you'll lose the use of it. Be someone that wants the next generation to launch from your shoulders. Listen, as we come into the landing moments, can I speak to marketplace people? Can I encourage you to become highly profitable with everything that you do? And the way that you do that is increase your income and lower your costs. Can I encourage you to go into the zone where you start to look at your overheads and minimize your overheads as much as possible? Can I encourage you to make the tough decisions to not keep on your team servants that are unprofitable? The Bible calls unprofitable servants. unprofitable workers. Wicked. Proverbs is tough on lazy people. Study the book of Proverbs and find out what the book of Proverbs says about lazy people. If you're a business owner and an entrepreneur and you keep lazy people on your team, you are working against the principles of God. If you're a worker in the kingdom, you're not lazy. I love my church. You guys suck that in without even missing a beat. 10 years ago, I would have just lost 25% of my congregation. I love you. But you've got to understand the big biblical principles. Good planning and hard work leads to success, the Bible says. Amen? If you're in the marketplace, can I encourage you to grow in technology? If you're in the ministry, can I encourage you to grow in social media? If you're in both, can I encourage you that you have to know how to switch your brain really quickly? That all the principles that work in the marketplace as a business person do not work in the ministry, because you've got to operate from a completely different set of coordinates. Raising up volunteers means that you've got to go by a different pathway, because you can't just pull the paycheck to get them to do what you need to do. You've got to actually be in the zone where you want to develop the very best out of that person and bring them into the full grace of God upon their lives. And that oil will flow to that zone.
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.